I know that makes it sound simple, but fabulous. I mean, you guys are fabulous. Joy. Well, we're done, right? So my talk title, when Leah called me, it was like a week ago or so. So some of you may not be expecting to see me up here, but I'm Reverend Judy Beach, and I'm thrilled to be here. And I think someone mentioned back. Well, I was here when Mindy Maudlin was here, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. But I did a lot of LUT studies with Mindy and John. Well, not John, Molly. John and I were at seminary together. And so I guess I've been around for a while. That's joy, right? Still around. And this joy thing is, it's there right now, isn't it? And it can be there right now at any time. However, sometimes we leave our nice, joyful celebration and we get in our car. And Janelle mentioned this. We get in our car and we get on the road, and all those people who are not from here drive around, and our joy may suffer a little bit. I just have to share this with me. We try, some of us try so hard to get it all right. And yesterday, this is a story on myself. Yesterday I thought, you know, Judy, your nails don't look so great. Why don't you try those fake plastic press-on things? So I put them on. They look nice, right? Well, this morning we were working around, and this happened. I'm not going to show you the one single finger that I lost. But the music helped, Julie, because it's like, don't stress about the fingernail. Anyway, when we get to those places and then we have things happen in our lives, we just celebrated Easter about 5 weeks ago, if you remember that. And probably, I watched the video and I saw some of those hats. Those are totally joy hats, you know, And then, so that was 5 weeks ago, and you've kept that joy going, right? The whole time. You've had it all together. Okay. Okay. Well, it happens, doesn't it? I have a story about when I was in seminary. Seems like a long time ago, but in seminary, and I had the opportunity to actually live at the Village and do my three-year program there for a Master's of Divinity, and it was wonderful. It was beautiful, and I was all spiritualized, and I still had my home here. My husband, Steve, this is a wonderful man in my house. He's actually a saint. He's here. Would greet me at the airport when I got the opportunity to fly home occasionally. And it was one of those weeks I was just, oh, so cool, so spiritualized. I'm going home, and it's going to be peaceful and wonderful, and he's going to be there at the bottom of the airport stairs waiting for me. And I did everything right. I got on the first boarding group. I got a window seat. The middle seat wasn't taken. And the door was about to close on the plane. All right, this is joy. The very last minute, this woman walks on the, well, she runs onto the plane, and she's bouncing down the aisle, and I'm thinking, no, please don't sit here. Please, please don't sit here. And not only is she's got too many bags, they're big bags, way over the limit. I know, they're way over the limit. And what does she do? Yep, she comes right into my aisle, bops me with one of her bags. I'm not very happy at that moment. So some of you might relate to that. That moment when, it's gone. We're not the only ones that happens to. And if you go back a couple of thousand years ago, the disciples, about 5 weeks after Easter, was not exactly in their joy. They lost their leader. They were lost, really. They didn't know what to do. Can you imagine being a disciple of a man that you'd followed for 3 years, that we know, and then he's gone? And not only that, but people were kind of out to get you. So what do? These disciples went fishing, because that's what they used to do. They fished. How many of us go back to what we used to do? You know, it worked back then, might work now. They went back to fishing. So this story is about when the disciples were fishing. Some of you may be familiar with this story. They're fishing all night long, and they've caught nothing, no fish. Think about that. They're in this boat all night long. I don't think they had lanterns, that, you know, like what we have, flashlights and things, electricity and stuff like that. They didn't have that. It's dark, and no fish. And I can imagine them saying, boy, I wish I hadn't denied him 3 times. Now, those moments where we start going over, oh, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, man, that was bad. And what happens is the sun starts coming up. So here light is beginning to shine. And they look to the beach, and there's Jesus. And he says, let me read this to you. This is a great quote. He says, children, you have no fish, have you? Now, some of this, like my story on the plane, what principle was I working from? Lack. Personality, too, right? Personality. Lack. Here's a quote from Revealing Word. Charles defines personality as a veil or mask worn by humans that conceals the real, the spiritual I am, governed by the selfish motives of the natural man or human. Well, I guess I was being a little selfish. But selfish motives are hardwired into our humanity. Bishop John Shelby Spong writes, our self-centered drive to survive is a universal reality rooted in our biology. We humans are the winners of an evolutionary struggle of millions and millions of years. So we get caught up in our own way. Sometimes wanting things to look a certain way. Sometimes our perceived survival is at stake, like, this is my space. Yes, that is too. our ideas, you know, wait, that's not right. This is the right way. Now, here's another one from Charles Fillmore, our co-founder of Unity from Christ Heals. People do not realize how they are bound by their selfishness, and it is not wise to tell them openly. He's a very wise man. Until they understand the difference between their real being and the mortal personality. In this sense of separation, anxiety, even anger sometimes, maybe you know what I'm talking about. So the disciples are out there trying to survive, trying to catch fish so they can eat. Maybe they're out there to hide. But they see Jesus at daybreak. Children, you have no fish, have you? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. Now, I don't know about you, but I have fished in my life, and I do know that if fish are on one side, they're probably on the other side, right? I mean, you know, there's not a line underneath the boat. So I look at this story from a metaphysical perspective, and fish represents divine ideas. And when we're out there in the boat, our consciousness, and we're over here constantly thinking about, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, that's my space, etc. You're wrong, I'm right. We are not on the consciousness side of being connected to our spiritual divine nature. Yes? Yeah. So what does it take when you're sitting there or standing there and you realize, one, it takes some humbleness to realize I'm not catching any fish here. No divine ideas. These disciples were reminded of their experience of Jesus, of that Christ nature that connected with them, that lived, Jesus living inside the truth of being fully connected to divine presence, saturated in love. And they took that moment and chose love, chose joy. So back on the plane with the rude woman, I realized I'm not catching any fish here. I'm getting upset. I'm feeling anxious and separated. And the good news is it didn't take me long to recognize that. And what do? I realize that, and I feel these divine ideas coming to me. Divine ideas of prosperity. We've got them along the walls here. You know, faith, life. I have enough. And I stopped and I looked at her, and when she was bumbling around, I said, do you need some help? And she said, oh no, it's okay, it's okay. Bang, 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 bang. And we started a conversation. And she was on her way to New Orleans because her daughter went into early labor, and she was trying to get there before her first grandchild was born. Now, you tell that to a grandmother, I'm all done. You know? I'm like, we became best friends on that flight. She worked for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you know, it was just a wonderful experience. We talked all the way to Austin. Do you have any divine ideas? we connect with that oneness, our spiritual nature. We break away from our personality. We find the source that of God. We find this that joy is in God, and our source of joy is God. So sometimes we look outside for our happiness. I want the space. Don't get in front of me. Your ideas are wrong. We look for that happy place, and it's external. It's future-oriented. It's not to imply, I don't mean to imply that outer things can support us. They can contribute to our joy. They can support us in our well-being, but they take second place. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're not dependent on them for our true and lasting joy. So we break away from our personality and we remember life is full of fish. There's only one presence, God, the good, our first principle. And we trust that we will survive. We connect to the truth of our being. This is the crux of where we bring our divine nature into our human life. Human life, we lose things. We break things. Things get broken. We have blips. When we recognize our and live from our divine nature, it's all joy then. And we breathe. This is being both human and divine. That thing used to just noodle on my brain sometimes. How can I be both? This is it. We are human. We bring that divine nature into each and every day of our life and moment. We're guided in spiritual truth, and God is our source. And so it is. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you and invite you actually to join me in meditation and bringing this truth into our lives and into this moment and possibly beyond. As we enter this time of quiet, I invite you to take everything off of your laps and out of your hands and just allow your hands to open, taking everything off, allowing your feet to settle on the floor, reaching that energy of earth. I invite you to take a big, deep breath in and release it. Yes, an audible sigh. Breathing in again and allowing the breath to flow away. Entering into this space of wholeness. Quiet. If any thoughts enter into your mind, I invite you just to think of it as a feather lightly blowing away. It's nothing. We begin to feel this peace in our bodies. This warm feeling that enters into our heart space. And we breathe and allow it. We allow that peaceful energy to permeate all throughout every single cell of our body. Thank you. nothing and no one can interfere with this moment. It's our time in abundance and divine, divine energy, divine light, going through each and every cell of our body, through our organs and limbs, our eyes, our heart, our minds. And as we are here in this quiet place, we just allow a few moments of silence, in the silence. And now we ever, ever so gently begin to bring in that realization where we've manifested that peace and love and joy of our divine nature, allowing it to fill our entire body, maybe even over to the space of the person next to you. Expanding it to the entire building and beyond. And we are grateful, so grateful for this moment to connect with our divine nature as we take each and every step from this moment on with that joy, with that divine nature in our human lives. And with gratitude and grace, we begin to allow our eyes to open ever so gently. And we may even notice that a smile comes on our face. With our heart beating in a perfect rhythm. And so it is. And so we let it be. Amen.